morning. A couple things we haven't seen in a while. The book of Acts and me. as you can see, we are back in Acts this morning, and it's been a long time coming. We've been away from Acts for quite a while. As everybody knows, we stepped away. We went through the Gospel of Mark as our fall fellowship study, and then into Advent. We were able to do some topical type stuff after that, involving a coffee mug and some time and money type sermon stuff. So it's really great this morning to be back in Acts. If you're new here, something to just kind of remind you of, this is something that our church started, like I said, about a year ago. We ended about Acts 16 or so is where we stopped. Like I said, when the entire goal was to go through the book of Acts, you know, chapter by chapter and everything, and really just dive into it. We will not be in Acts 17 this morning, though. That'll be next week. This morning, what I want to do first is give us a quick recap. Because the one thing we need to remember about the book of Acts is it is ultimately a story about how the Holy Spirit moved and sent people out to proclaim the gospel. Okay? If you were to just, you know, nail the book down into a really quick one-sentence definition, that'd be a pretty good one, I'd say. It's about the story of the Holy Spirit moving people, sending people out to proclaim the gospel. There are some Bibles, some translations that actually call it the Acts of the Apostles, which isn't necessarily a great definition, because there are points in the story, like major points in the story of Acts, where the apostles weren't even involved. Okay, so the star of the show in this book is the Holy Spirit, and I think that's something we really need to keep in mind. I want to do something real quick. So first, I want everyone to look left. Now look right. Look up. Look down. Okay, the last two, I just want to see if you do it. Okay. look around. Think of all the people you shook hands with this morning, okay? We are proof that the mission in the book of Acts at least made it this far. Right? Okay, because the entire point of the book was the sending out, you know, getting the gospel out, spread it to the ends of the earth, right? We're getting ready to get there, right? We're proof of that. That's the reason why we are even here this morning, okay? Now think about this for a second. Think about that coworker that you have that you know is having a really rough time. Think about that family member. They might be going through a divorce, might be going through something bad. Think about that neighbor that's maybe been asking you questions like, hey, where do you go to church? That's also proof that the mission of the book of Acts is not over. Okay? And the mission in the book of Acts can be summed up in really one verse. And that's what we're going to talk about real quick. Acts 1:8. If you were to take the entire book and put it down to one verse, this would be it. We're going to read that real quick. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's really great because this verse kind of makes the mission that you find in the book of Acts never ending. Because to the early church who would have experienced this, right? We are the ends of the earth, right? But as we read it this morning, the ends of the earth can mean something totally different to us. So there's almost like an idea of perception here where it's like the mission's never done. And that's good because it keeps compelling us to answer a calling that we all have on our life. Does this sound familiar at all? Acts 1:8, does it sound like it might sound like something else? It's something that we point to all the time. It's the mission of not just this church, but it should be the church, right? Matthew 28 here, the Great Commission, right? We base the mission statement of this church on this scripture. We rarely point to this side of the wall. And to be honest with you, there's a reason, because this is man-made words, right, that we use to sum up the Word of God. Okay, so this is important on this side of the wall, okay? Go, right, make disciples. But first you know that He has all authority in heaven and earth. And it says it right here, Acts 1:8 as well. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. There's power, there's authority, right? But it all comes with a calling. It all comes with something that we are all meant to do. Okay? I don't think there's a mystery here that we're all meant to fulfill the Great Commission, that we're all meant to step out with this idea of Acts 1:8, right? Of be a witness and go out, right? I don't think there's a mystery there, okay? But for those of you that are even questioning it, okay, the call to leverage your life and to be sent out for the fulfillment of the Great Commission was included in the call to follow Jesus. It's one thing, all right? I think sometimes we put way too much weight on, well, I just don't know what I'm called to. I just don't know what my calling is yet. You know, God will reveal that to me eventually. And the thing is, when you became a follower and you became a believer in Jesus Christ, that came with a job description, and it's right there. That's everybody. I think we all expect to see this, you know, giant white, you know, glowing orb from heaven come down with this boisterous voice saying, go, be a pastor. Go, work in children's ministry. Go plant a church, right? And we expect this high, like, this big witness, this big mystery, this big, you know, the burning bush. That's what we expect, and that's just not it. As you walk in obedience, as you walk in your faith, as you keep going, you grow into a calling, right? That this idea of go and make disciples manifests itself in different ways as you grow in your obedience. But it's all the same calling. Okay? There might be people that are expecting these weird signs, right? Like being able to find who or what or whatever they're called to, like in their breakfast cereal or something like that. You know, I used to eat Cheerios all the time, okay? And the only thing it ever told me was like one of the kissing scenes from a sitcom. Ooh, that's it. That's all I ever got from my Cheerios. Okay? That's just not how it works, okay? I was not called that way, and let me tell you, that would have been a lot easier if it would have just been this obvious sign, okay? It kind of goes back to the idea of like opening the Bible and just, you know, picking a random verse, like, okay, yep, that's my life verse now. It just doesn't work that way. Whenever I was first called, and I use the idea of called is saved, right? Because that happens at the same time, right? It's kind of what we're talking about. Whenever I was called, I was, let's say a rough place. I don't know if you realize this, but Sarah and I weren't always the perfect couple that you see now. I don't know if you realize that. There was a time I was a jerk of a husband. She might still argue that, but I was very selfish. I was self-centered. I was arrogant. I'm still the third, but I was all those things, and I had reached a point in my life. It was pretty much fresh out of college, and God was really pressing on me. We were finally starting to put some authority on God's word. We were starting a 10 small group, everything like that, and God was putting a lot of pressure on me from the word. It was finally sinking in to the point that He finally broke me. And I acknowledge the sin of being a jerk, you know? Obviously, that's a very broad term. You know, you can put a lot of things there. So, but I remember I went for a walk, as I do. That's what I do. I do thought walks whenever I'm just feel really heavy. It helps me a lot, helps me process things. But anyways, I went on a thought walk one day, and I remember just this overwhelming feeling of just starting to proclaim and confess and everything. I was in the middle of a parking lot with people around me. I'm sure they thought I was nuts, but it didn't stop me. I just kept doing it, and it just felt like a release. And I still remember it plain as day. Right now, you are proclaiming to grass. Eventually, it'll be people. And it always reminds me of, I will make you a fisher of men. Same thing, right? But the thing is that that's not necessarily the call of a pastor. That's the call of all of us, right? We're all called to witness. We're all called to proclaim, right? It's not just a pastor thing, okay? This progression of the call, okay, like I said, it started with, like I said, walking in a parking lot, preaching to grass to today, right? Now I'm Pastor Memorial, right? So it's been this progression, but it's all been one calling. And this calling has brought Sarah and I closer together, through that. Okay, this calling has led us to step out in faith to pursue ministry together. And this calling is also leading us to new steps. And actually, I want to call Sir up. Because we actually have an announcement this morning. Yeah, got to switch mics because of the camera. But so yeah, we have an announcement this morning that we are going to be stepping out in faith to become domestic missionaries. The goal is that we're going to be traveling actually full-time across the country. Reaching other families that are doing the same thing. There are families right now in the United States, all of North America, everything that are traveling full time to different places and everything. They don't own a house. They don't rent. They live in an RV. That's what they do. And they just travel around. And that's our goal. We are going to try to reach them and build a community with them. We're calling this ministry The Abundant Journey, is what we're calling it. And there it is. All right. Boom. the point of the ministry, like I said, is to create a gospel-centered community that is also mission-focused for full-time traveling families in North America. That's the goal. So we thought it kind of started with the tornado. Whenever we, Sarah and I were pretty active in that. And we wanted to see where that would take us, because like this first time we really started questioning it. So I was going to hand that off to Sarah.
We didn't know it during the tornado. We were just doing what we thought was right. But then looking back, we're like, maybe this all started with the tornado. But then when we stopped and looked back again, it's like, well, maybe it started when we bought the camper in that March a year ago this month. And then looking back, it's like, no, I think God had his hand in it when we bought Adam's truck 6 months prior to that. And we have sold our camper and the blue truck now to buy bigger. And so just looking back at when we feel like God had his hand in all this has just been longer than we even knew. Even the purchase of the camper, Adam had been researching campers for at least a year, maybe more. As Adam does, and I was not on board with spending that kind of money on something we were going to use 5 or 6 times, maybe 7, 8 times in the year. I'm like, that's kind of expensive for a vacation, little short weekends. But within a matter of us talking one day over lunch to him getting home at 4 or 5 o'clock, I was completely at peace with spending the money on the camper. It was really weird. He came home and I'm like, well, this is what we're doing. And we were looking online. And we didn't find anything we wanted. And I said, well, the one we want isn't listed yet. Literally the next morning we got up, I got on Craigslist, which is not where we usually shop, but it had been listed 6 hours prior. They listed it sometime point in the night. We drove to St. Louis and bought it, and it was a great rig. And then I'd say sometime this fall, we were just uncomfortable. We didn't know what we were doing. We just had this uncomfortableness about us. Adam, we were talking about what we were going to do. I'm like, well, whatever we do, I want to stay home with the kids still. I love this. That's part I don't want to change. I want to be with the kids all the time. But we were standing outside. I was standing outside. The kids were playing in the street as we do. And I was just looking at our house. I'm like, what is going on? I love my house. I love my neighborhood. I love all the little people we live around. And we go and chat with them. They come outside and talk to us. Like, it's a great street. It's a great neighborhood. If the kids ever go to public school, it's a great school. Like, what is going on? Why do we feel like this? But there was just this unsettledness that we needed to move. We needed to do something. We just didn't know what. And obviously, it's come to this of this. And then even sitting here at church, I'm not a crier. There may be 2 people that see me cry in this church. It might be Isaac being one of them. I don't cry. I've been crying at church on Sundays during worship. Like, I look around, I'm like, I don't want to leave this. you guys, it's scary. So it's not like this is going to be a great big vacation for us. It's scary, but this is what God's been calling us to do.
We had been kind of talking about the idea of selling everything and moving it into an RV and traveling full time as kind of a kidding, not kidding kind of scenario for a little while. Probably, like I said, probably before I even brought the truck, like it always been one of those like, oh man, that'd be like a dream, right? But one of the concerns we always had was, okay, but what do we do about church? You know, how do we still attend a church whenever you're constantly on the move? Well, it was a really good question to ask because it prompted us to start asking more questions on top of that. So like, if we were concerned about church, what are these other families doing for church, right? If they're traveling all the time, they're families that stay in one place 1 week and then they're gone. They move on to somewhere else. Now, there are some families that are staying upwards of 6 months in one place and then moving on, okay? But a lot of them are pretty nomadic, okay? They're moving quite a bit. How are these families staying connected to a body? You know, if you show up to a church, you're there one Sunday, you show up, you worship, you pray, and then they're gone, right? So, we got some statistics up there of some of these families. So if they are constantly moving, whose job is it to watch over their souls, right? Who's actually pastoring these families, okay? So it kind of let us think, well, if we're asking those kind of questions and we can't find anyone else that's doing it, I guess that's our responsibility. And that's the reason God's putting it on our heart and making us even thinking about it. So we started doing research about these families because, you can do a quick search and you can find families that are, you know, on YouTube and, all, you know, you find some of these families that are leveraging this stuff for social media and all that. And so it was easy to find them. But it wasn't until we started really doing research where we found out how many there were. And you could see up here, there's like some 9 million households in the United States own an RV, which is, it's a lot, right? That's crazy high. Now that is owning an RV in general, okay? So the next stat you'll see, 1 million families live full time in their RV. So, I mean, that's a lot of families. I mean, that was more than what we thought. We were thinking, I don't know, it's that's million, not thousands, not hundred, a million families, right? Now some of these families are stationary. Some of these families are, they move it all. They buy an acre of land or something like that, they park an RV on it, and that's where they stay, okay? And that's not necessarily who the target of this ministry would be, because if they are permanently parked somewhere, then there's a church in their community that should be reaching out to them, okay? That's just the blunt look of it, you know? I mean, that's why we talk to Matt all the time, right? it's the ones that cannot stay in one place long enough to stay connected to a body, okay? So that's part of that number is the 1 million, okay? And the other number that really floored us was the average buying price, 35 to 48, okay? Age, not price, good call. The average age of people buying RVs, because if you think the 35, all right, I'm 35, and so, yeah, whew, I know, right? Whew. But no, I'm 35. I mean, look at my kids, right? They're super, I mean, we got Jacob, right? So there's families with kids.
Families are bringing their newborns home to RVs. That's their home, so.
Yeah. They're bringing the infant home to the RV, and then a week later, they're gone and moving on. So, I mean, yeah, like they can't even keep a doctor, you know? So, that's crazy to me. But anyways, so like I said, as we were doing research, we were trying to find other organizations that were reaching out to these families. We found an organization that was giving them benefits and stuff like that, but nothing from a spiritual standpoint or anything like that. We found a couple other organizations, Campers for Christ, Campers on Mission, an organization called Nomads, but they were all targeting retirees. Well, you can see, you know, the average age is not retirees, you know? So that kind of made it pretty obvious what our ministry was, you know, what were these families that weren't being connected.
Oh, so that brings us to the challenge of how do we hit the moving target? these families are coming in. You know, well, you set a mess to this. Okay, these families are coming in. You know, we can sometimes struggle. Families come in 3 weeks in a row. You know, you can't just get connected that quick. So even if you're there that long, a month, you don't get connected. You're not working. You're not serving in the church. So what's the best way to reach them? So we plan on living among them. It's not a, hey, you over there, we want to talk to you. It's no, hey, let's do this together. Let's live together. Let's learn from each other. So we, you know, that's why we want to, no. That's why we plan on selling everything and living in the camper with them. Hey, we're all living in 200, 300 square feet together. Woohoo! How do we make this work? And so, yeah, that makes it hard to put the responsibility on a local church if they're moving all the time. And how, I mean, we wouldn't know, because that's, I keep bringing that back to Adam. I'm like, so what would we do? How would Memorial, like, with this that hat on, how are we reaching the people over at Binder? We don't, because they're only there a week. So the goal is to join them, not just preach to them, but join them and preach with them.
So in order to build these relationships, the first thing we want to do is become a credible resource. So this is getting into more of the nitty-gritty on how we see the ministry working. So we will do this by creating content on social media, for one, because, I mean, that's how these families are staying connected right now. That's where they live, is on social media, right? If you're 1,400 miles away from your best friend, how do you talk to them? Phone call? FaceTime? Social media, or let's make that more generic. Video calls, if you're against Apple, okay? If you're anti-Apple like Wade, okay? Then it's voice calling, okay? Face calling, right? Anyways, but so, I mean, those are like the three ways that you have to stay connected, okay? So we need to be able to leverage that, okay? So what do we do? All right, so on YouTube, what we wanna do is leverage missions. Okay, so like I said earlier, we want to be a gospel-centered, mission-focused ministry. So the great thing is there are some resources out there that we are able to find a missional directory, so to speak, that's nationwide. It's actually from a organization called Baptists on Mission, which is a resource developed by the North Carolina Baptist Convention. And they have, like I said, missions all over the country that you can sign up for. So that's one way that we're going to do that. I'll talk to that here in just a little bit. Anyways, what we also want to do is have like a weekly episode, kind of like would you like watch a series or something, right? And every time we go to these missions, okay, we'll have like a weekly episode that would come up, okay? But we also want to have teachings and devotions and worship and all of that, but it's all going to be geared and directed toward the full-time RVing lifestyle. So that's how you talk to them, right? We're not talking to them as an outside church. We're talking to them. It's like, this is the church within the community, okay? So, I mean, that's basically what this is. It's like planting a digital church for these nomadic people. I mean, that's kind of what it is, right? So we want to be able to have like guided worship services on a website. So we're going to have a website that, like I said, you'll be able to go, and every Sunday there'll be like a service that'll all be on the web, and you could attend church through the website, because, you know, yes, they could attend a church wherever they are, but we want to be that consistent voice no matter where they are. So that'd be the goal there. Above and beyond that, we don't want this to just be, the fake friends on Facebook kind of scenario, right? We don't want that. So we also want to grow this to the point that we have actual meetups. So once a month, every other month, whatever that ends up being, we're not sure what that would be yet. We actually have families that would meet up in one centralized location. Let's say, I don't know, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, right? So y'all meet up there, okay? Notice how I threw in the y'all as, okay. So you meet up there, right? And you actually have a church service with whatever families can show up. And then from that, you would leave church service and you'd go on mission. You'd do a mission trip all in one thing there. So like how we would meet here, instead of going to life groups, we'd go to a mission that would be local, okay? And that's kind of like how the church service would work. So we want to do both. We don't want to live just online. We want to be live and face-to-face. We do want to do both there. So What I want to do is show, so we kind of have an idea of what a route could look like. So we kind of have a map graphic here, and this would be just kind of an idea of what like a single route, this would be like a smaller version of a route, okay? And as you can see, we're kind of going way over here, the far point over there is West Virginia, okay? So we see this, each one of the stopping points would take us about a week of a mission trip, okay? And then, you know, 2 or 3 days of travel, whatever we would need to be there, and then another mission trip. So it would literally be a life on mission the whole time. We're just jumping from mission trip to mission trip to mission trip. Filming it, documenting it, and encouraging people to come alongside us. It's kind of like, you know, raising the banner, follow us as we follow Christ on mission. That kind of idea. So just as an example, so there's one of these spots that we have on this map is a place called Stearns, Kentucky, and they have something called a Lord's Cafe, and it's literally a restaurant for the homeless. So they come in and they can have a sit-down meal, but it feels like a restaurant. So you have like waiters and waitresses and stuff like that. So you can, they ask for volunteers. You can come in and serve food. You can cook the food, whatever. But they also provide opportunities to evangelize and witness to the people as they come in. So that'd just be like an example of one of these missions. So, that's an idea of what it could look like. So this would be, like I said, a smaller one. So this would be 2 months, maybe tops. And then route two could be upwards of 4 to 5 months that we would just be gone doing these. So, it would just be a consistent life on mission, and that would be the point. We want everyone to know that we will always see Memorial as our home. Always. Okay? Yes, we're a pastor here, right? But before that, we were members. And we will continue to be members here. As we go, we want to take you with us. So you're our church family, you know, and like Sarah said earlier, it's really hard to leave. Really hard. This is both exciting and sad at the same time. It really is. But it's a mission that we're finding it very difficult to ignore. It's difficult to leave, but we mostly want everyone to know that, you know, we love y'all. This is not something that we took lightly. In fact, we fought it for a little while because we do really like it here, like Sarah was saying. Just like in the book of Acts, right? You're sent out, and it's a calling that is continuous. It led me from here, and then it led me to a redeeming relationship with my wife. It led us to start ministry together. It's leading us to this. And this is just the next step, you know. But it's a continuous calling, just like everyone in the book of Acts, right? The Holy Spirit leads, and you just keep going. So someone will be raised up, you know. As we go out, someone will come in, you know. But we just want to really reiterate that, you know, you're a family. And this isn't a see you later, you know. We'll be back, you know. These are routes. That means there'll be times we'll be home. So, and we'll definitely see you guys then. So, I want to invite David to come up. He was going to lead in some responsive things. So, here's.
All right. So this is seemingly an unusual Sunday. Those of you who are used to typical Sundays, you sing 3 songs, someone preaches at you from the Bible, and then we sing another song. This is a little different. And I think it's very important that this is different because we need to be hearing stories of redemption. We need to be hearing stories of God sending. If you're new to church, if you haven't been here before, you know, this is a little different. But if you read the New Testament, this is very typical. This is what God does, which is why we're emphasizing this Sunday. Healthy churches send out missionaries. Amen? Huh? Right? I mean, come on, think about it. If we're all here and we never go anywhere, then we don't believe that. I mean, let's be real. And so it's important for us to acknowledge there's a change here. There's something uncomfortable that's happening here, but it's also exactly how God intends things to be, because healthy churches send people. And it's an exciting thing to consider how God brought Adam and Sarah here. God continued to redeem their marriage. God called Adam to serve as a shepherd. And as that calling got refined and he grew as a shepherd and ordination happened, all these things, now God's sending them out. So that cycle can continue somewhere else. Thus, the mission continues. Thus, the kingdom comes and his will is done on earth as is in heaven. This responsibility is on us. And if you know Adam, he's not super awesome and perfect. I mean, it's just not the way it is. He's not the most skilled person in the world. He's not the best person in the world. If you know me, I'm not the most skilled person in the world. I'm just the loudest in the room. And you notice that God keeps sending, though. Right? And it's an exciting thing. I want us to acknowledge that. I want to weave a thread through the Bible real quick so we kind of catch what's going on here. For 4 weeks, we talked about how God created you to create good things. Initially, the image of God was he created good things. He created birds, and he created water, and he created the sun. He created all these things, right? And he said, these are good. And then he created humans, and he said, these are very good. And he said, it's not good that they're alone. So God created Eve, and they had this relationship, and there's all that stuff there we can talk about another time. But then he said, this is good, and he put us in the garden to work and create good things. That's what you're created for. You are created to create good things, not to just consume, not to just criticize, although that's what's easy for us, right? In our flesh, that's what we want to do. We want to consume, we want to create, criticize. And so it turns out that although we're created to create good things, we still have things like wars and bombs and selfish things that we do, ways we step on people, ways we cut people off on the road, things that we say to people that crush them, divorce. There's all these things in the world that are terrible, that destroy us. And so although we're created to create good things, we don't do that. And God didn't leave us in that. God said, no, I love you enough to fix that. I actually love you enough to take on all that punishment, the things that you do wrong, and I'm going to die for that. I'm going to take on that punishment. So Jesus came, he taught us how to live, and he died for us so that through him, we may have life. We may be redeemed. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so what happens here is that God creates us to create good things. Although we don't, we mess that up. Through Jesus, then we're redeemed and we acknowledge what we're called for, right? And so as God calls the church, which is what we are, we come together and gather. God calls us to the church. God redeems us through Christ, and then God sends us out. This is the whole point of the book of Acts. We see the book of Acts ripple over and over and over. And so right now, the challenge should come on all of us. The reason we hear stories like that is to put the challenge back on and say, how is God sending me? What does that look like? Because Matthew 28, 18 through 20 isn't just for those called to be pastors or children's ministers or worship leaders, those of us who can flex our authority through juggling the weirdness of church ministry, right? That's not the call just for those people. We find all of ourselves in those words because we're all comforted by the fact that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. We're all comforted by the fact that he's with us always. And because of that, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And so one of the things to be considering today as we have a time of response is, what does that calling look like in your life? In what ways are you making disciples, teaching others to observe the things of Christ? How are you seeing the people in your life come to know Jesus? Because that calling isn't just for the Moss family. That calling's not just for the Sullivan family. It's not just for those of us who are extra boisterous or who look really good in flannel. That calling's for everyone. And we see in Acts 1:8, he says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses all over to the ends of the earth. And we're here, and that's continuing. We're going to move into a time of response. The band's going to come up here and start playing a song. And there's some things that I want us to do during this time of response. I want us to be considering what it looks like to say, whoa, I was created to create good things. That passion's in me, but I keep messing that up. So what does it look like to be redeemed in Christ? And what am I doing with this calling of being redeemed in Christ? How is the Spirit sending me? What does it look like for me to go and be baptized? Or go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? What does that look like? Right now, during response, there's about three or four things I want us to consider doing. Adam and his family is going to be standing up over here. I would encourage you to come pray with them. Because as a church, we're sending them. We're saying, hey, we acknowledge God's calling in your life, right? And this isn't all, by the way, new to everyone in the room. This has been walked and vetted through the deacons, through the shepherds here at the church, through several leaders. This isn't a big shock to some people because we've walked through this already. We've prayed over this. We encourage you this morning as the body to say, hey, come pray with Adam and Sarah because we're sending them. We're sending them out as missionaries. But I would also encourage you to pray for our church. Take time during this response time and pray for the church because we know that God tends to shift things sometimes. When he sends other people out, he sends other people in. And so we don't know what's coming next, but we're going to pray about it and we're going to trust God as we do. I would also encourage you to pray for the people right next to you. Think about the people right next to you and consider the fact that they were created in God's image and they were created to create good things. And they're probably like you. They have no idea how to do that and they screw it up a lot. And so they need Jesus just like you. Pray for that person and pray that God sends them out, that we are all people who are going and making disciples, teaching others to observe all Christ has commanded us. Pray for Adam's family during this time. Pray for our church. Pray for those around you. Pray for yourself. Say, God, what do I do in response to this? Because if it's true that everything's random and nothing matters, then nothing matters. Think about lunch, move on, go on with your day, see you next week, nothing matters. But if it's true that there's a God who created you, he loves you, he orchestrated it, that you're in this room this moment for a reason. He put you here for a reason this Sunday, this unusual Sunday, to hear this message of being sent out, to hear this message of being redeemed by Christ. Maybe God's calling you to do something. And you continue to avoid it, you continue to ignore it. In fact, right now, you hate the fact that I'm saying this. You're like, shut up, I don't want to think about that. Pray about that. God put you here for a reason. During this time of response, please come pray for the Moss family. Please come find yourself praying for our church. Whether you pray up here, you pray in your seat, pray for our church. Pray for yourself, pray for those around you. Consider what it looks like to be sent. Because Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even until the end of age. Please stand with me as we take this time to respond. If you have no idea how to respond right now, maybe you can grab one of those cards in the seat in front of you and walk through. Maybe God's calling you now towards salvation. Maybe God's calling you towards baptism. This is our time to respond and pray and seek God. Pray with me and then we'll worship. Lord, I pray that you would guide this time as we seek you, as we respond to you sending. Thank you for the Moss family and what they mean to our family, to our church. We trust you as you guide us to respond to you right now. I pray by your power, your spirit, that we would consider what it looks like to be sent, that we would be a church that is constantly going for your gospel, for your truth. We trust that you're with us always. Amen.